Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Kicking off the third hour here with you tonight. It's Ian
and Aria
talking about the shifting religious beliefs out there amongst the people in, at least in the Western world. We focused a little bit on the UK numbers, which are probably similar to the US, where Christianity, the number of that is going down, the percentage of population that follows Christianity going down, the number of non-religious people on the rise, the number of Satanists on the rise, actually the number of a lot of things are on the rise. Buddhists, Islam, and a few others, numbers are up. Not much, not significantly or anything like that, but
they are up.
Christianity is way down. And so that's what we've been focusing on here tonight, especially on the Satanic Temple and the Global Order of Satan, which we were just reading the pillars, the six pillars, I believe it was.
I think that was what they said, yeah.
And we were going through some of that. There were some questions that we had. Aria, you were raised Christian. I was as well, both in the South, but you were in the real South. You were in Mississippi. I was just on the west coast of Florida.
Anyway. And, you know, I had a lot of these questions answered by Christians throughout most of my life, but some of these things, and look, I know when I ask a Christian out there to explain the Trinity, I know it's a trick question.
You're not going to get a good answer.
Well, I know I'm not going to get a good answer, and I know it's only something I wouldn't ask them if I thought they could actually give me a good answer.
Hmm.
The problem with the Trinity is that it's complete nonsense. It makes absolutely no sense, and they have to write thousands upon thousands of words, redefining this word to mean that word, and, oh, well, we meant some, but we don't really mean some. What we really meant by son is parent, or whatever it is. They jump through all of these mental gymnastics.
We had this one guy call in who seemed, you know, quite intelligent, but he could not make heads nor tails. I couldn't understand what he was saying when we asked him that question.
The Holy Trinity, like many aspects of Christianity, it just exists in this sphere of things that we refuse to think about.
We say so, and that's all you need to know.
And that Christians are big. That's one of their favorite things. And the Holy Trinity, more than anything else in Christianity, is that. Yes, Jesus is God's son. Yes, Jesus is God. Yes, that means he's his own son. Don't think about it. Just go with it.
And there's this whole Holy Ghost thing as well, which is a thing.
Yeah.
Whatever that is. So let's go back to Chuck. He's on the line in Washington State. Chuck, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
You are the Holy Ghost. You talking about it right now, Brad. It's part of the magic I was talking about the last hour. The magic within this whole idea of Christianity, contemporary Christianity, and I wasn't talking about Paul Stamets, by the way. I was talking about Duncan Trussell.
Oh, okay. I'm not familiar with him.
Well, he goes on Coast to Coast every once in a while. He's, but anyway, kind of a philosophical kind of guy.
Okay.
He made a point on Joe Rogan's show there that when he's talking to Christians about their belief system, and if you really think about it, it sounds like magic. It sounds like a bunch of magic that quite frankly, voodoo grabs from to make their belief system work.
I don't know what you mean.
Well. Okay, you don't know what I mean?
No, can you explain what about Christianity suggests magic to you?
Okay, yeah, Jesus Christ turning water into wine, for example.
Okay, yeah, okay, magic.
Okay, that's
good
magic,
example,
right?
Yeah, that's absolutely.
What about the whole notion of a virgin having a child?
Well, that's absolutely nonsense. That's not even magic at that point. But yeah, I mean,
well, you're discussing supernatural occasions in the Bible, sure.
Right. But when you go and point that out to these Christians that are locked into their belief system and unwilling to go and take a look at other things and take a look at themselves as far as what they believe, that, no, you can't. No, that's not magic. That's Jesus. That's God. That's Jesus and God. That's the Holy Trinity. That's not magic. But I mean, if you're talking...
Yeah, I get it. I mean, realistically, a prayer is nothing but an attempt to cast a spell, right? So, I mean, I get it. It's just a different way of saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, you know darn well when you cast your spell, you're going to get hypnotized with your eyes. A heart of stone can turn to clay, you know? I mean, come on now.
Chuck, thanks for the call tonight. I do appreciate hearing from you. Let's continue here with Wendy. She's also in Washington State. Go ahead, Wendy.
Hi, I just wanted to bring up the Trinity.
Okay, great.
Okay.
I grew up as a Jehovah's Witness.
Oh, okay.
Kind of in and out, yeah. And I never could commit to it.
Hmm.
I mean, I'm 64. My mother was in it when I was 3 and a half.
Wow.
Is when she came into it.
But what did they ask you to, before we get to the Trinity thing, I mean, Jehovah's Witness is kind of an interesting religion. When they ask you to commit to it, what does that mean as a teenager or a young person?
Baptized, but they didn't ask me.
It means what? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
So they getting baptized.
Okay, gotcha. And is that a choice that you have to make in that church? So, like, for instance,
No, you don't.
Right, because when I was in the Presbyterian church, I had no choice over that. It was just something my parents had done to me.
No. No, they want you to wait till you're older and have more knowledge.
Well, that's at least commendable.
Okay, well, so wait. You're saying it is?
So what I wanted to say, though, I believe the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. I believe they're separate, but they both have the Holy Spirit. And, you know, nobody's perfect on this earth, let's face it. And, you know, I believe that God did send his son down here to die as a human.
All right, let's slow it down here, Wendy. I just want to make sure I'm understanding what you're saying. You said you believe the Holy Spirit, the Trinity or whatever, the Holy Spirit, God, and Jesus are all separate?
Oh, absolutely, and I believe the Holy Spirit is what they both have.
Okay, wait. So that means the Holy Spirit is not separate, but Jesus and God are separate?
They are separate, but the Holy Spirit is what they both have.
What does that mean, both have it? What does it mean to have the Holy Spirit?
Well, whatever their knowledge is, to me, would be the Holy Spirit.
Okay, is that different from the standard Christian belief? Is that like your specific belief, Wendy?
Many of them.
But so the Holy Spirit is knowledge?
Yeah, basically, I think.
Like the knowledge of God, like God-level knowledge?
Yes, but Christ was sent down here to die for us.
So just to clarify, you're saying like the Holy Spirit is sort of like the personal internet connection between Jesus and God. That's how they're connected, even though they're separate?
Yes.
Now, is that like a typical religious belief among Christians, or is that a unique belief unique to you, Wendy?
Some people believe that they're the same.
Say again?
Some people believe that and Christ are the same.
Okay, you're saying some Christians believe that?
Oh, yeah, the Trinity.
Okay, so you don't subscribe to the standard Christian belief. What you're saying is that they are all the same. Together, they're together, but they're kind of different, but they're all the same? Is that the standard Christian belief?
There is a Father and a Son, but they have the Holy Spirit.
That's what you believe.
Right.
I'm asking you your understanding. Like, what do the Jehovah's Witnesses believe about this?
They believe something like that.
Something like that.
But, you know, I've never, and it's so weird, my mother passed away a couple of years ago. And she has been a Jehovah's Witness since, like I said, I might have been 3 and a half.
Yeah.
And when she died, on her deathbed, she said, "Was I good enough?" You know, and that my sister is gay, and that just made her sick. You know, are you good enough? I mean, she slept with one person all her life. My dad, who was...
Was she asking you your opinion of whether she was good enough?
I think she was asking God.
Yeah. No, she was just saying, was I good enough?
I see.
That's absolutely horrible. It's disgusting that religion can do that to a person. On their deathbed, the only thing they're thinking about is whether or not they were freaking good enough.
Yeah. And it's like, don't you know you believe in Christ? That he didn't come down here for fun, if that's true.
The only real answer to that question is you're better than the people who made you ask whether or not you were good enough.
Mm.
Exactly.
Wendy, thank you for the call tonight. I do appreciate hearing from you. The number is 603-283-6160. That's, I would say at this point, still not very clear what Christians believe. It sounds like Wendy is saying that Christians believe different things when it comes to this so-called Trinity.
I would suggest that most of them don't believe anything in regard to the Trinity.
You mean they're just regurgitating what they were told?
Yeah, I think Wendy is probably one of the few people who have actually given it any thought whatsoever, mm-hmm. and that's why her answer was the most cogent of them. You know?
That's a good point. Yeah, it was the most understandable.
Yeah, so
from what we've heard,
the Father and the Son are separate, and they both share this thing that binds them together.
Sort of the knowledge of God.
Right, but the Trinity, as I understand it, mm-hmm. is this idea that they're all one and they're all different and they're all one and they're all different and somehow there's no conflict there. And I don't think Christians believe anything about that. They just say it and then they wipe their minds of it so they don't have to think about it.
Well, and, you know, having read the Quran, I understand that the key difference between Christianity and Islam is simply that the Islamic belief is that God is a monotheistic God, that there's just God.
Yeah.
That there's no Trinity or whatever, and that's where they really disagreed with the Christians. Otherwise, they're very, very similar in their belief systems. The Muslims believe the Bible. My understanding, that's, you know, the Quran came after the Bible. It's just they don't think that Jesus was the quote-unquote Son of God, and they don't buy the whole Holy Spirit thing. So it's just like, to them, God is just God. And that at least on its face makes more sense.
Yeah, I like that a whole lot better.
And that's what they were trying to
It always bothered me that Christians call themselves monotheistic, right?
Yeah, that's not true.
But they're demonstrably not. They're demonstrably polytheistic.
Yeah. Let's continue here. We have another caller. You are on the air, caller. What is your name? You're on Free Talk Live.
My name is Andrew.
Andrew, go ahead. What's on your mind tonight?
So my understanding of the Trinity is that you have God the Creator, you have Jesus, which is God in the flesh, and then you have the Holy Spirit, which is God in the spirit. And the reason that Jesus was sent was to separate us from the old law, which was the Old Testament. And Jesus, the thing with Jesus was you didn't need the Ten Commandments anymore because you had the Holy Spirit to tell you what is right and wrong.
Right, but let's focus on the Trinity here because what you said is true. So Jesus is the physical manifestation of God, right?
Right.
And the Holy Spirit is the spiritual manifestation of God.
Right.
So what is the third one?
No, you have God the Creator.
The Creator. What is he the manifestation of?
That is the three.
Right.
I think you would just say it's God. So you got a separate category.
So you got spirit, you got flesh, and you got question mark.
You have the God that sits with the white beard in the clouds, you know, that you can't see.
Okay, just to clarify, you don't believe this?
Well, I grew up in a Christian home, mm-hmm. and that was my understanding of what the Trinity is that you have God in the flesh, and then you have God in the spirit. They all come from the same God.
See, but I need more elaboration on what this first one is. You got God the Creator. Of what? I mean, what is he? What is he made of? What gives him substance? Well, the other one's flesh. The other one's spirit. What about this other?
Well, that's a silly question, aren't
you? It's not a silly question at all. He's arguing that this thing exists.
I don't know if he's arguing
real.
That. I don't know if he's. I think he's just saying what people said
I'm
to
not
him.
Arguing. Yeah. I'm not arguing anything. I'm telling you what my understanding of the Trinity to be.
Do you believe in God the Creator?
I'm not arguing for or against anything.
Yeah.
You're asking a question. And I'm trying to answer the question.
Well, you haven't let me finish asking the question yet.
Well, I think you're badgering him. I think he has answered the question.
Do you believe that this God the Creator exists?
Well, It has nothing to do. I'm not on trial about my beliefs.
No, I'm just curious.
Of what the Trinity is.
Right, and you answered it. Now
well,
he has a new
partially
question.
Answered it. He's asked. He has answered what two of those things
no,
are.
You can't
he
answer
refuses
what God
to answer
is.
What the third one is.
Well, hold on, Ari. Well, just one second, Andy. You can't answer in words very easily what God is.
Part of the whole Trinity concept is that all of these things are one and they're all separate. So he's pointed out how two of them are separate and what gives them their separate characteristics.
No,
but that's only like... That's,
if God creates everything... That is God. God is everything.
I tend to agree with that.
Understand. That is three. That's three things. You have God that is everything, and then you have God personified in the flesh.
But wouldn't that everything God include the flesh?
He's saying that. He's saying
right. But so they're one and the same.
So my understanding growing up as a Christian was that was God's way of personifying himself on earth to experience what men experience on the earth.
I understand that.
Makes total sense. I would just say the only thing I would say is that wasn't just exclusive to Jesus. And I think there's actually a segment of the Bible, and I'm sorry, I don't know what the passage was, but I could probably dig it up, where Jesus actually references the idea that everyone is connected to God. That God is essentially experiencing all of our experiences simultaneously. He's having all, or it, or whatever, is having all of humans' experiences in any given moment, is, you know, having that, learning
well,
from
and
it.
And supposedly that's why God sent you the Spirit, is so you didn't need man to tell you what the commandments were, because there's an Old Testament, a New Testament. And I think where a lot of Christians mess up is they don't separate themselves from the old law.
What's up with we are going to ask you a question about yourself here. It sounds like you were raised Christian. Are you still to this day?
Well, I don't go to church, if that's
okay.
What you're asking.
All right, so you're more of an individual.
I'm a very spiritual person, but I try to look at how things actually apply to me and my life.
Yep. Okay.
And I don't just look at things like, oh, you just tell me A, B, and C, and I believe X, Y, and Z.
Right. Yeah, so I think that makes sense. I think a lot of people are like you these days.
And that's where I stand on it. And I don't think there's anything wrong with Jesus and his teaching.
No, I don't either.
And I think we can learn a lot from that stuff. And I think Jesus was actually a lot more of a libertarian than most people give him credit.
I think there's a good argument for that.
Because if you actually look at the words of Jesus, I don't really know if Jesus ever really talked about heaven or hell very much.
Mm-hmm.
My thing is, I don't really believe in heaven or hell. I believe that when you're here on earth, you want to live a good life because you want to be able to rest easy at night. You know, you don't want to do certain things because you don't want that hanging over your head.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that there's good ways to practice your life so that you can live more in harmony.
Absolutely. And these are universal principles. And there's a lot of that is spread throughout all of the world, or at least a lot of the world's religions. Very, very universal. We identified one of them in the satanic religion tenets that you were reading earlier, Aria, the being of empathy towards
the golden rule.
Other people. So, yeah, you see that echoed all over the place in so many religions.
My idea of heaven and hell, I think you can live in hell on earth.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I don't think it has anything to do with, because I don't think that there, once we die and whatever happens to us, I think we all have a spirit. But I don't know what happens after that. And I don't think it matters what happens after that. I think your experience here is heaven or hell.
I agree.
On earth.
Totally.
And so that's how I look at it, and I think that's what Jesus was trying to say. I'm not a Christian because I don't believe that we need the blood of Jesus. I mean, to me, that sounds very sacrificial,
mm-hmm.
and it sounds like the complete opposite of what I mean. Whenever you take communion, you're drinking the blood of Christ and eating the you know, the,
it's a little weird.
You're eating the flesh, and yeah. I mean, I'm not a cannibal,
right.
So it's hard for me to understand what that even means.
I appreciate your thoughts here tonight. It was Andy.
Yeah, thank you.
Is that right?
Andrew.
Thank you, Andrew, for your call. Very well thought, and I appreciate you reaching out and sharing that with us.
Hey,
thanks for the call.
Are great.
And thanks, man.
Good luck
thank you.
You and your trial and everything.
Thanks, man. Dude. I really appreciate it. And for those that do want to help me out with the trial situation, I've got a sentencing coming up in April. If you want to send a letter, you can go to letters.freetalklive.com. It'll give you all the details on how you can write a letter to the judge if you feel like I've done good work and helped you or helped the community in some way, and you want to express that, it would be appreciated. You can go to letters.freetalklive.com. Let's continue. We have Reverend Ratspeed in Nevada. You're on Free Talk Live, Reverend Ratspeed.
You have me on caller ID now, don't you?
We do, sir. Go ahead.
So I would like to talk about a small side tangent in the 4 minutes that we have left until the top of the hour, bottom of the hour, about the nature of magic. I heard that, it was part of the conversation earlier. Excuse me. And so I would like to present my theory about the nature of magic and see if it sparks anyone's creativity, minds.
Okay.
I believe that magic is the point at which the imagined meets reality. In other words, when the intangible meets the tangible. When something transmogrifies in ancient religions, it usually transforms from one thing to another. But in this case, what is happening is it's a transformation of what we imagine could be, in other words, potential, into the thing which actually becomes real. It manifests itself. So therefore, I think a couple of things. This metaphor can be applied to several different things.
Well, before you do that,
yeah.
Can you point out any time in the existence of human history that something intangible became tangible?
Well, whenever we dream about something or whenever we conceive of something, it's, in other words, it's usually limited by our own knowledge and our own perception of the world, of the universe, of reality.
Oh, I'd say the answer to that question is any time an idea has become real, right? Which is everything. So everything that we see at one time was in someone's head. But it wasn't real until it was.
Moment. It's at the moment.
But the supplies were real, and the person doing it were real.
I actually came up with this theory when I was actually trying to do a game training for Bitcoin.
All right, hang on, Ratspeed. Okay. We'll continue here with your theory in moments. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. I get what you're saying, but some of the things that we take for granted today would absolutely be seen as magical to someone from, 1,000 years ago.
Yeah,
right?
But that's just ignorance, right?
That may be a factor. There's more coming up here. It is Free Talk Live.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA News Update. Former President Donald Trump's classified documents case, still the only one involving an FBI raid, but new on Tuesday we learned classified records have been found perhaps mishandled by former Republican Vice President Mike Pence. as well. GOP Senator Lindsey Graham says this whole thing has come a long way since the Mar-a-Lago raid.
What became a political problem, for Republicans is now a national security problem for the country.
Ticketmaster under fire on Capitol Hill Tuesday.
Senator Richard Blumenthal during a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing into Ticketmaster's handling of Taylor Swift concert tickets.
Ticketmaster had the temerity to imply that tobacco involved in pre-ticket sales was Taylor Swift's fault.
But Live Nation head Joe Berchtold said the companies aren't to blame. Automated bots are.
This is what led to a terrible consumer experience, which we deeply regret.
I'm John Schaefer.
I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join the show here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here tonight, it's Ian and Aria. And you can join us online anytime you want. Just head over to freetalklive.com. You can also follow us on our video streaming platforms. We have more than one, but the one we like to talk about is Odyssey. And you can go to video.freetalklive.com and find our Odyssey channel. You can subscribe to it. And we appreciate that if you do it. So, once again, that's video.freetalklive.com. We're going to go back into your calls. We've managed to talk about religious various aspects of religion throughout the whole show here tonight. Maybe we'll talk about ChatGPT. It's not looking like we will, but
it's looking like
it's an option.
Probably not.
It's an option. But, of course, the phones are open, so if that's what you want to talk about, you can do that. We're going to go back, though, to Reverend Ratspeed. He was trying to make a point about magic and how it's defined. We're not talking about card tricks or, making an elephant disappear. We're talking about something else here, right, Ratspeed?
Yeah, correct. It's more of a metaphor, I would say, but it's a metaphor that I don't think I even came up with. Before I go on, I just want to say I think you guys should have a show where you interview ChatGPT and see what it says about itself.
It's kind of boring. Having used ChatGPT to some small extent, I've experimented a little bit with it. It's repetitive.
if you ask a question that it doesn't really care for, it'll just keep repeating itself. And it wouldn't be a very interesting interview, at least certainly not to do it live. It would need heavy editing to cut out the repetitive parts. But we have shared some of the content from ChatGPT on the air. The thing is, ChatGPT isn't really a chatbot. Even though it's called ChatGPT, it doesn't actually have the ability to answer all of the questions you might want to ask it. So a lot of the times it will just simply refuse to answer and kick you back to the prompt. So
if on the radio, maybe it'll liven up.
Yeah, if someone gave us a chatbot to whom we could ask, natural questions, and it would generate natural answers and actually speak them out. Yeah, I'd be all about it.
It would just be like the Whopper from War Games. Anyway, so I wanted to just say real quick, yes, it's not about magic tricker. It's not trickery. It's not illusions. It's the idea that when something potential turns into something manifested into reality, it is that the moment and the place and the time and the mindset in which it happens could be considered in a way magic. I can give you an example. This is how I came up with the idea. When I was trying to day trade and I was trying to learn about stock books and order books for day trading and dealing with crypto, I looked at the visual representation of an order book and where the bid and the offer happens. And I started, and of course, me being the way I am, I started studying, finding out, well, how does this happen? How does it work? And why are some spreads bigger than others? And I started looking at it, and it came to the conclusion through different articles that I read, they don't actually know. It's more or less an agreement between two consenting parties. Whenever a bid whenever someone sells stock and buys it, there is a trade. But that very actual moment in which it happens is not 100% defined, and that's why a spread can be a spread. So I started applying.
I don't know what a spread is.
Yeah, we don't know or really care. Don't explain it.
Okay,
yeah,
that's fine. Anyway, so that's the point. Is that
my question would be what differentiates, if anything, magic from just plain old cause and effect in your definition?
Could you repeat that one more time?
Yeah, what differentiates magic from just ordinary cause and effect? Let me explain the question. I can think about going in my car and driving home, right? And that's the thought. And then I can go out there, get in my car, and drive home, and that's the action. But there's nothing magical going on there. It's just me thinking something and then me doing something. So that's just cause and effect, I would argue.
So that's an interesting question. I don't know if I can answer that because I wasn't thinking about it in that term. I was thinking about more or less the will of the individual, which some people consider free, some people don't. They say it's the manifest of the universe, depending on who you are.
But see, that's the same thing. I will myself to drive home, so I go get in my car and I drive home. Again, it's the same scenario, but it's not magic.
I'm going to have to think about that one. That's a good question.
Yeah, I think it just depends on your perspective.
Right. That's what I was going to argue. I mean, it sounds like I don't want to say watering down the definition of magic, but changing it to the extent where it's indistinguishable from just existence.
I think magic or supernatural so-called occurrence, in many cases, is just something we don't understand yet, right?
The thing I wanted to get out of all of what I was going to present is that there is imagination and then, things that can exist in our mind that we have not objectified. In other words, it's potential. Mm-hmm. It can't happen in real life, or so we think. And then there's the things that we actually know are true, the objective reality, the material world, if you will, the things that can be measured and quantified. And the joining point between those two is where magic take place.
I get what you're saying.
I would say virtual would be the word that I would use to define this place, a virtual place. It's neither imaginary nor is it real. It is at the joining point.
You're saying it's at the point of an idea becoming reality. That's the magic?
It's also, yes, and it's also sort of like dreaming. Like, you can dream something, and the moment that you wake up, it's not real because it was all happening in your mind. But in some religions, they think of dream weaving such as Aborigines, such as Native Americans, and I would even go so far as to say Christians and Muslims and everyone else around here that has monotheism, believes that some sort of manifestation of the word, of the thought, the mind, and I would even say computer programming could become a form of magic. That's why I always say if you want to empower people, teach them how to code, because that is a form of wizardry.
It's casting spells. Thank you for the call tonight, Rathspeed. I appreciate hearing from you. I mean, some people would point out that all word is creative, that all word is, you know, has this power to create, not necessarily to manifest physical reality, but to certainly to create ideas in other people's minds. Bad people use the word to control, right? Yeah. So mainstream media, politicians, Hollywood, they use words to manipulate people in negative ways, to join the military and die for politicians, or to pay taxes without thinking, or whatever it is that, you know, the thing is they're looking to do to you. Well, other words can free. Other words can open up. So, I mean, to that extent, we're all casting spells constantly. There's an interesting book, The Four Agreements, that I read while I was in jail. Somebody sent that to me. It was really good. And very, very short book, but it's this Mexican gentleman who is kind of like he was kind of in touch with shamanism type.
Okay.
There's a certain term for it down south of the border, but a lot of real, like, really great lessons for life. And he talks about how words are essentially just constantly casting spells on people. From as young as when you're born, your parents are casting spells on you, basically, without your awareness, and you're becoming essentially, you know, part of what they want you to be.
Right. Well, I mean, words certainly have an essence. There's words like ooze and stuff like that. Like, the word ooze, it just has a certain quality to it that isn't pleasant. Yeah. Right? And ooze is the most obvious word I can think of, but it's countless words.
There's
like,
other ones,
like Chris Cantwell, we've talked about him before, and how his very name, Cantwell, it's right there, right? Why is his life good? Well, he can't be well.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, there's certainly something to that,
absolutely.
Even if it's just unconscious.
Yeah, and I thought that was an interesting discussion. The number here, if you want to join us, is 603-283-6160. Let's go. Now, normally we only allow one call per night, but since a different person called from this number earlier, I'm going to just presume this is actually Jack in Washington. Do we actually have Jack now?
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, sir.
Remember, last time I called was like 3 or 4 months ago. I got off of my Truth Social, Twitter, I got off of everything. And also you guys, so, but to religion, it's not the word for Trinity. It's not in the Bible. This is scripturally based. If you write it down, look it up on your own, you find a King James Version. Second,
Wait. You said the word Trinity isn't in the Bible?
It is not in the Bible anywhere. You can look it up.
Huh.
I know, I've tried.
No, the Trinity is the name that humans created for this thing.
Okay.
But the thing is frequently described as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
They do describe that.
That is mentioned
in the Bible.
In the Bible.
Right?
And that's true. And religion is this world. You look this up, King James Version, if we're going to play the Bible game.
It's like saying the word Bible isn't in the Bible. It's like, well, yeah, duh.
Nice point. If you look it up, though, this world belongs to Satan's. His system, God gave it over to him, just like Satan tried to give it to Christ when he was the 40 years or whatever. So religion itself is a lie, and it tries to draw you away from God. I was raised also a Jehovah's Witness. My mom let me know. She contacted me, let me know she had called in. So that's why I'm calling in. It actually brought me further away from Christ, where Christ was nothing but nice. Could organize people against other people. This is nice. Religions are evil, and that's the devil's system.
Well, yeah, I mean, Yahweh is, I would certainly agree with you. I don't think any of these people exist, but if there is a devil, Yahweh of the Bible is a one-to-one fit for a description of an evil, tyrannical, vicious, malevolent deity.
Yeah, but I think he wanted to have not the bots follow him, and in order to not have all the power in the world to be God.
I didn't catch much of that.
You can't create something that just loves you for no reason.
Well, that's exactly what he wanted to do.
Look at the sky. Look at the grass. Look at the ocean. I mean, that's all the proof I need to believe in God. not a religion. Emphasis on that.
The existence of the physical world is all you need to believe in the existence of the non-physical?
Yeah, we worship Michelangelo and Rembrandt.
I don't worship Michelangelo and Rembrandt, and I can see grass. I can touch grass.
Mankind does. Mankind does.
Reveres, maybe, but that's not the same as worshiping.
Oh, okay. Pink. Madonna. You pick your poison. Everyone wants to worship and love something, and God put it out there as a nice person with his nine attributes of kindness, self. I don't know. But all he does, and everyone hates him.
I think you're twisting the meaning of the word worship when you say that people worship Paris Hilton.
They raise their hands and they chant the name, dude.
They what? Say that again?
They raise their hands and they chant the name. Their concerts. I've been to Rage Against the Machine, Bad Religion. I've been to Ultimate Concerts in Portland.
I get what he's saying. I mean, there's definitely a lot of celebrity worship out there.
But it's not actual worship.
Well, it's not worship in that there's any kind of scripture that they're per se following, but they may consider the songs of that individual to be that. So, I don't know. It probably doesn't go to the level that you're talking about, Aria, but there is an obsession.
Certainly.
With celebrity. And, you know, at what level does obsession cross over into straight up worship? You're dressing like the person, you're talking like the person, you want to be that person. Jack, just to clarify, so you were raised as a Jehovah's Witness. It sounds like you have rejected all organized religion, but you have your own personal belief system. Would that be accurate to say?
Yeah, and if I find a corner church, I can go in and they just read the Bible. They don't try to tell me what to think or to wear. If I want to come in shorts and flops, that's what I get from God.
Do you still feel like as an individual religionist or whatever you would describe it, do you still feel like the Bible is the closest holy book to what God is trying to say to man, or are there other books that are of value to you?
Everything is a value because everything is God, and that's okay. The Trinity question. God is everything. Jesus Christ is not God. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost.
But if Jesus Christ is part of everything, then he is God, right?
Well, we're all God.
So is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. You literally just said Jesus Christ is not God.
Yeah,
though.
You did say that, so you've corrected it now.
He's not. Okay, please, guys. He is not the ultimate. God, Yahweh, the hallowed name, he's everything. He created everything.
Right, so you would say since everyone or everything is God, Jesus is just a piece of God, sort of like the rest of us are.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
We're all spirits of God
there
and empty vessels, and God loves us all.
I agree with that.
Okay.
I agree with that, Jack. Thank you for the call tonight. I do appreciate hearing from you. The number if you want to join the show here is 603-283-6160. Another great book that I really like was The Tao Te Ching. You ever read that one?
I'm not.
It's pretty libertarian, actually, in its writings. And it's one of those nice books where it's kind of just essentially like a book of poems, and you can kind of open it up to any old page. You don't have to read it straight through. You can just kind of pick a page and focus on that for the day or whatever. Recommend that one.
I'm really behind these episodes where we end up getting into the weeds of religion make me realize that I used to love doing this. I watched atheist videos and interviews, not because I was, a militant atheist. I just found the topic interesting.
Sure.
And at some point over the last decade or so, it just stopped being anything that I read about or watched videos about or just was interested in general. Like my readings and my knowledge about the history of Christianity and what is and isn't the Bible is on the decline because I'm just not paying any attention to it anymore. Because at a certain point, I stopped caring what other people had to say about God. And it was like, it's just like LaVey wrote, if we're all discovering or creating our own gods, then just create your own. And at some point, I just started doing that. Like, it became irrelevant to me what the Bible says or what Jack and Ocean Shore says or what anyone says about the Bible. What do I think is true? Because that has just as much weight, just as much chance of being true as it does for anyone else.
Absolute fact. Yeah, you're more likely to find God within than without,
yeah,
I think. Let's
but I do miss having all of that useless knowledge. I mean, because it was useless. But
I don't think you've got useless knowledge. I mean, it's good to have you on here for the conversations with the Christians because you were raised like that. So you have that knowledge, and it's not useless because it allows you to intelligently respond to those people and what they have to say. But let's continue here. We have another caller. You're on the air. What is your name?
Tim.
Tim.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Have y'all ever had any experience with a seventh son of a seventh son?
No. What's that mean?
Well, you ought to check it out.
How would I do that?
Well, you just have to find a seventh son of a seventh son.
what does that mean? Yeah, meaning that a family that has seven sons, I would have to find the youngest of those sons, and then he would have also had seven sons and find the youngest of those sons?
Close, yeah. Huh? It don't make no difference how many sons somebody had. If that seventh son had seven sons, he could have nine sons. But the seventh son of a seventh son, they have talents.
They have talents? Like what?
Yeah, I mean,
can they sing real good?
Well, no, but I've seen one. I've seen a man get his arm nearly cut off one time and shooting mud about 4 foot in the air, and he walked up and touched it and immediately stopped.
So the seventh son of a seventh son, this is like an angel in human form? Is that what?
I don't know about all that.
I just want to hear more about this story. So you saw a man near get his arm cut off in some kind of accident, and then some guy, the seventh son of a seventh son, walked up, touched him, and he stopped bleeding instantly?
Right.
Where was this?
Down in Texas.
Was it on like a factory, or where were you at the time?
It was a working place.
You were at a working place. You want to tell us a little more than that?
They was. I was just a child.
Oh, you were a little child.
Just hanging out at a factory.
Yeah. How old were you?
8 years old.
8 years old. And what happened next?
They took the man to the hospital.
Okay.
Was he okay? Was he still bleeding? I mean, obviously not.
Said he stopped bleeding.
Right. So, I mean, why did he need to go to the hospital?
Well, he had his arm nearly cut off.
Okay.
But it wasn't bleeding?
No, it stopped bleeding. I mean, it was bleeding a little bit, but it wasn't like gushing out anymore.
Now, was this guy known as being a sort of miracle worker, or was this the first time he'd ever kind of sprung into action that you were aware of?
He didn't like to use his talents at all.
Mm-hmm.
So this person worked there?
No, well, he was there a lot. He didn't work there. He just happened to be there at that time.
He also just hung out at the factory.
What happened? He didn't say it was a factory. He said it was a working place. But did he do anything else noteworthy that you were aware of? I mean, surely there were rumors around town.
I seen a woman had a frying, hot, boiling skillet full of grease, and it got knocked off and run all over her arm, and he blowed his breath on it, and it never blistered or never showed any kind of burns or anything.
Wow. That's a hell of a story, man. Now, was he related to you in any way?
I can't say.
Is that because you don't want to say?
Because I don't want to say, yeah.
Okay, all right, fair enough. Where are you calling from tonight?
Texas,
all right. And thank you,
check
man.
It
thank-
check it out.
All right, that's
check
interesting. It's interesting. Thank you for the call tonight. I appreciate it. Seventh son of a seventh son. Let's go to Saheed. He's calling from Maryland. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Saheed.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Welcome, sir.
So I was just listening to the conversation about the devil and magic, and you guys talked a lot about Islam for quite a minute. So I was wondering, do you guys see any relationship between religion and in the state? Because
yeah,
in Islam,
the state's the dominant religion of the globe.
Yeah, the state is the religion that atheists, for the most part, believe in. The state essentially has all the trappings of the most evil religion on the planet. They don't have any kind of redeeming qualities like a lot of religions do. But yeah, there's a lot of similarities between them.
I got you. And so, do you guys, especially specifically when it comes to like Christianity, at least for actually, let me rephrase it. So in Islam, the devil is kind of like really related with a lot of this stuff, but with basically all the animosity that we have in between each other, and it kind of creates this tribalism that goes on. From our perspective, it creates that tribal. Have you guys ever read anything about NDP from Marshall Rosenberg?
NDP. he? Oh, wait.
NBC.
Yeah. What's it? What is it again? Nonviolent communication.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty culty.
Oh yeah, I know. I know a little about that. Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, it is. It is pretty culty. And to be honest, I think it has a lot to do with religion, because the way that he kind of like describes the negative kind of like talk that we have in our heads, right? And he basically comes to the conclusion that you know, that negative kind of like shame, guilt, and whatnot, that you guys actually, a lot of people relate with religion and, you know, cultish kind of behavior. Basically, that is what, you know, creates the divisions that we have in society, a lot of that trauma and kind of like reliving that trauma. And that's basically how I see, the Quran and even the Bible, describes kind of like how Satan works for the most part in creating those divisions, but starting inside rather than, overtly, you know?
Yeah, I think that negative self-talk is really detrimental. It is something that is important to be aware of in our lives, and you know, be aware that that isn't necessarily you. That what it is, I don't know. Whether it's some sort of signal from somewhere in the ether or the devil or whatever you want to call it. It's important to reject those things.
I don't know about this idea that, like, you mentioned shame and guilt being, I think you said, negative emotions. I don't know if I can agree that they're negative.
Not negative emotions. It's that negative, it's like distorted. It's not logical thinking, but it's like distorted type of thinking. It's talked a lot about, like, psychology circles and whatnot. And I think it's a big part of, like, religion and specifically that anti- Yeah, that negative spirit that goes on.
But it's not negative. Guilt can be tremendously positive if it causes someone to go out there and right a wrong because they don't want to live with what they've done, or where it prevents them from doing anything wrong because they know they'll feel guilty about it.
That's a good point.
You can kind of like get into the weeds of like the differences between like a feeling versus the actual judgment statement, you know, where somebody's like actually guilty versus feeling guilty, you know. The second one where it's coming, where it's not actually a feeling, but it's coming from, external, it's like something that's, imposed, like, external or internal, really, but it's really just, imposed upon us, kind of culturally.
Yeah, but and if that, it's being imposed upon them externally, then it's not an emotion that they're mm-hmm. feeling.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's irrelevant to the question at hand, right?
No, that's actually, the point. I like to kind of, like, distinguish, and that's what the NPC kind of, like, talks about, distinguishing the feelings from, for example,
Gotcha.
So it's sort of like a, it's technically like a type of violence in a sense. It's like a.
I wish we had more time to talk about it, but Saheed, you called right at the end of the show. But I do appreciate hearing from you, and feel free to call back any old time. Definitely appreciate all the input tonight from all of our callers. Very busy night on the phones. I don't think we ever got to the first beyond the first topic.
Good to know what people think.
Yeah, very interesting viewpoints. So quite a variety as well. So definitely appreciate the input. We're back tomorrow night online. You can join us in the meantime. Share your thoughts over at freetalklive.com. It's social.freetalklive.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue them up. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.